Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. My old friend Santi Vasali is here today, and Santi brought me a really interesting story. He said, you know, long time ago, many years ago, I mentored a young woman who had just come over from Italy. She'd just come over to New York City. And we kind of lost touch with each other for about 20 years. And recently we kind of re-engaged. And she's on her way to Santa Barbara to reconnect with me and our friendship of many years. And I just thought, what an interesting story, because what I know of Santi is that he's a natural born mentor. I know because my partner, John, is sitting right here. I asked him to be part of the interview, too, because Santi's mentored John for about 10 years now. So it's quite an interesting story. And I have with us Paolo Kushner. And Paolo is actually Paolo Mariani Kushner. And I have Santi Vasali with me. John Flandrick is helping with the interview. And I want to start by saying, Santi, can you tell us, what did you see in Paolo when you met her?
First impression was that she was determined. She was very young and inexperienced. And she was, however, I saw determination behind. And when I see enthusiasm, I step in, because with the young people, you know, we Sicilians speak always of metaphors. Young people is a like a puzzle, and they start filling this puzzle, and they reach a point where they can't find the last piece. And there where I come in. I come in as a mentor to help them make the last step to complete their life. I don't look at them only, you know, in terms of professional, to explain them the camera, how to operate if they're interested in photography. Of course, Paolo was interested in journalism, and I was an inspired writer. I wanted to be a writer when I started, but I recognized that I was pretty limited. But when I see that kind of enthusiasm, I step in and I try to complete their life, but not just as a professional. I make them as a round person, you know, complete person. This is a school that comes from Renaissance time in Italy, when the pupil will go to the studio or the masters, because even the masters at the time had masters, you know, and had mentors. And I step in and I do like they did. You know, the first thing they did, instead of giving them a brush to paint, to give them a broom to clean the floors. I don't know if you understand my metaphors, but this is the way I operate. I get a great satisfaction when I see John 5-6 years after that I met him. He almost didn't know which side was the camera had to aim, and now he passed the masters. He takes a better picture than I do. So, you know, it's a great satisfaction. It's amazing. And Paola had that determination when she worked in my office. Naive, but determined. And that's what I saw it.
You know, it's so interesting, Paolo, because I have to say, you know, I was reading your bio and, you know, you're a journalist, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the interesting stories that Santi and you cover together. But, you know, when your kids were young and you had to kind of pull back on a full time, you said that, you know, in the years I discovered a passion in real estate, became an investor, taking advantage of the strong markets, I applied all the skills I learned from Santi to make houses very appealing to people and became quite successful. And I can remember I was reading that line, and I can remember Santi came over to our house. John was attempting to learn how to grow tomatoes. And Santi came over and said, okay, this is how you grow tomatoes. And this is why, if you pay attention to the tomato, you'll be a better photographer. I didn't get it at the time. I was like, how does that connect? But it does somehow. And I see that in your story about Santi as well. You know, what he's talking about is the Renaissance tradition. You know, grab a broom before you actually get to even participate in what the masters are doing. So what were you doing when you met Santi?
I was working for some Italian newspapers and magazines. I was, you know, writing small articles here and there. So I was running around. I was connected with the Italian Trade Commission, with the Italian consulate. So they were giving me, you know, little jobs here and there. And then one day they told me, said, you know, there's this great photographer who is publishing his book, Rizzoli, and he's having a book signing. Do you want to go? I'm like, of course I want to go. So I went, and I was, I was absolutely enamored of his work. And I, you know, I have all his books, and I was like, I can't believe the perspective that he had of images. I was like, this is, you know, how many times we have seen the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, in a photography, millions of times. The way he was able to capture the lighting, the perspective of the Brooklyn Bridge, for example, was very different from everything else I had seen. So I was like, oh my God! So I had to talk to him. Besides, obviously, the typical interview and. So he said, why don't you have a coffee with me one of these days? So we organized that. And so we started talking, and we started to know, you know, he started to learn who I was. And as he said, I was determined. I wanted to make it. I wanted to stay in America. I did not want to go back to Italy, even though I had everything, you know, was already set for me. My life, it was set, supposed to be set at that time when I was 26. You know, as I said, I finished my school and my university, which was very, very tough. I studied, you know, for months and months. And so when I came to New York, was actually my parents' prize for studying so much, and say, go learn English, come back and start your new job. And I did not want to go back. After I spent 3 months in New York, I said, I don't want to go back. So I went back home. I said, thank you, no, but I'm going to go to New York and see what happens. And I was lucky enough that on my path, there was Santi Visalli, who taught me one of the most skill. I think that the best, one of the best skills that I was able to appreciate it is patient. Santi, the way he takes photos, I'm sure you know, John, the way he takes photos, he waits and waits and waits until the perfect moment comes. And I was always rushing. I was a completely different person at that time. Like, no, I mean, I can't just wait for this. I just don't see what you see. And then Santi kept saying, the best things come when the right time comes. And I'm like, And then little by little, even when we were writing, you know, he was correcting my articles and making sure that, you know, was covering everything. And he said, patient, this is rushed. Yeah, you got to do it again. Remember, Santi, you got to do it again. I don't like this. This is not giving you the right perspective. It's not giving people the right perspective. Your readers don't understand what you're saying. It's limited what you just say. Do it again. And I did it again. I did it again. So today, I think, is one of my best skills, Santi. Thank you, because of what you taught me. But we also
had the same discussion with John 2 days ago about patience.
And many times.
Don't run when you take pitches. Don't run. 3 good pitches is best. I have 100 bad pitches. Well, you always be very selective of what you present to your clients or the magazine where you work. Just always present your best work. Not quantity, but quality. Quality is important.
And originality, the way you took those photos from the angles that you chose. It was like always been like a mystery to me. I have to say, I still can't take a photo, a decent photo, but I can critique, you know, I can write about a photo, but I can't really take it. So this is, you know, the way I started really appreciating who Santi was, and you know, we became friends, and we did a lot of things together, a lot of fun things. Santi, do you remember when Cicciolina?
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that because that I want to talk about the Cicciolina. I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani. I want to talk about some of the articles that you wrote together. I think that is fascinating stuff. Richard's giving us a sign we got to go to quick break. So just jump into the break and we get back. I'd love to hear about, this is a famous porn star, Cicciolina, who became a politician. And is an Italian story for sure. Let's go.
I put Cicciolina on my screen. I don't know how to do that.
Open. Richard, let's go to quick break. We get back from the break. We're going to talk about some of the wonderful journalistic projects the photographer and the journalist wrote in and illustrated together. All right, let's go to quick break. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Paolo Kushner and Santi Fasali, old friends that lost track of each other. Paolo was being mentioned by Santi, and it's been almost, I'm hearing, 27 years since they reconnected. Paolo's on her way on a flight tomorrow to rekindle this old friendship. She wrote me a little bit about the kind of projects that Santi and she were involved with. And this is the story that they both wrote and illustrated. A story about a famous porn star, Cicciolina, who became a politician, and she was trying to get out of the clutches of her famous artist husband, Jeff Koons. And tell us a story, Paolo.
So again, Santi calls me and he says, Paolo, have you heard about Cicciolina? I'm like, no, what happened? Well, her husband, Jeff Koons, is abusing her, and they just had a child. The baby was maybe 2.5 years old or something like that. And Santi said, I think we need to help them. And I'm like, 100%. She was watched 24 hours by bodyguards. She could not go out. She was like literally a recluse in her beautiful, you know, brownstone in New York. And so Santi, I can't remember, Santi, maybe you can help me on this one. He was able to learn where she, when she went to Central Park with the child, just to take the child out. And so he said, okay, we're going to go. We're going to be like a few feet apart. She knows we're coming. And you can just talk in Italian so the bodyguards will not know, will not understand what you're saying. And I will follow, you know, behind the trees. And literally, this is exactly what happened. Here I am. I'm at about maybe, 15 feet from her, walking parallel to her, asking questions in Italian and recording whatever she said. And the bodyguard were confused, like, what's going on? This woman is crazy talking to herself. and Gigiolina kind of, you know, pretending that she was talking to the child. They didn't understand that she was talking to me or to the baby. And then in the meantime, there's Santi going from one tree to another. Literally, I could see with the back of my eyes. And I like, and going from one tree to the other, taking, you know, tons of photos. So we went back to the office and we had incredible photos. And of course, a bunch of people recognized her. She was a very famous porno star at that time. And she became even more famous when she became a politician. Was kind of a joke for the Italians. So see, this is what, you know, the Italian politics are, why don't we elect Cicciolina? So she was famous for the two things. But unfortunately, she couldn't leave the country because she could have never come back because she was, you know, porno star. So she couldn't come back to the United States at that time. And so we asked her, I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay or do you want to go? And she said, I want to go. I don't want to be here. Jeff is very abusing. And, and she showed me her arms. And it was, you know, it was bad. So we set up a time. She was able to buy a flight ticket. And we helped her. Santi, help me out. Did we take her out of the house? We went there. Or we met her outside? And then
we met her in Central Park. Like, she was a... walking with a baby, and we didn't know was she was there. We just met by chance. Yeah. But she exactly.
No, I don't remember that way, Santi. You knew when she
was. Yeah. She told me exactly where she's going to be, what time she's going to be. Yeah, right. She knew I was taking pictures, but she didn't want it. The bodyguard or anybody else to know that we had met each other, that we already had arranged it for the shoot.
Yes, yeah. And then so she was able to get a ticket to go back to Italy. Remember, and she said, "I will not go back to America." She couldn't to begin with, but and we were so proud that. You know, we were able to help her. We were the only one that knew about this whole story.
It was a good scoop.
It was a good scoop. So where did you publish?
On Oggi,
different magazines. Yeah.
It's a weekly magazine, very famous, a very very large distribution. So that was one of those. But the second experience that we had that I will never forget was when Giuliani was running. Remember, Santi?
Yeah, when I look at the picture, I always say the young Giuliani. He didn't hedge very well, and his brain didn't do much.
Yeah, follow, right? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Who knows what happened? That brain.
He was such a good person then.
It was.
He clean up New York, etc. But then he didn't mature well.
so you say, Paolo, that the election of Rudy Giuliani as the mayor of New York, we were the first one to predict his victory in Italy. Yeah. And as a result, he told us that the only article that Rudy had framed in his office was our article, Santi, and your article. Richard, That's let's correct. Go to a quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to hear the Rudy Giuliani story. And it's interesting, Santi's saying he didn't age well. He didn't mature well. Sorry, I misspoke.
His brain did not mature very well. Who knows right. what happened in the meantime? Who knows?
Okay, let's go to a quick break. When we get back, we're going to hear the Rudy Giuliani story. Don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Santi Fasali and his pupil of many years ago. Santi mentored Paolo Mariana Kushner, and throughout her career as a journalist, they got up to some amazing stories together. And we'll talk a little bit about the porn star that became a politician, Chicolina. Now we're going to talk a little bit about their story that they wrote together, illustrated. Rudy Giuliani, the prediction that Rudy was going to be mayor of New York, they called that one. Tell us about that.
Santi, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to
talk about it? Are you talking about it?
Okay. So I can't remember exactly how many days before the elections we were able to meet with him. Of course, Giuliani was very busy, as you can imagine, and he didn't really want to talk to us. We were literally in the elevator with him, and we said, come on, you know, Rudy, the Italians want to know what you're going to do, and you know, they're proud of you, so why don't we just answer a couple questions? No, I don't really want to, and then we convinced him, we charmed him, and of course Santi was taking millions of photos in the elevator anyhow. And then he said, okay, come up, you know, I give you like 10, 15 minutes. And the way he spoke to us, the answers that he gave us, we knew he was going to be elected. We knew he was the one. So we wrote this article, and for Il Giornale di Sicilia, which is a newspaper from Sicily. And and we predicted, we literally wrote that he was going to win. We knew he was going to win. There was no, we had no doubts. And obviously that was the case. So maybe a year after, we met him again. And he said that the only article that he has ever frame that was our article, and it was in his office. And so it was, we were really proud because at that time, Giuliani was doing great things for New York. And unfortunately, things have changed since then. But that was, we were proud ourselves. We really were proud Italians that, you know, Giuliani won. And he did so many good things, as everybody knows, and for New York. So
you remember when I was knighted, you wrote a story about me.
That's right.
Chile, and you couldn't believe it. The day I was in a tour with my wife, sings in a chorus, and they went to Europe to sing in various churches. And here we arrive in Palermo. There's a newsstand. And I get the paper, I get two full pages with the five of my pictures, your article, and there were 40 people on the bus. They couldn't believe it, that the moment I stepped out of the bus, there's an article in the major paper, two pages about me. They couldn't believe
that. That was great.
That was fake.
I know you were knighted, Santi, but Paolo, what happened?
Santi, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think about the details.
But you got the story, is what?
Yeah, she wrote a story from New York.
Yes.
And I was traveling throughout Europe, but it coincided that the day they arrived in Palermo, that morning the newspaper carried the story about me being knighted and all my career.
Yeah, that was a yes. And it was a long article. I remember.
Very, very, very long. 2 pages I got in the paper.
Yes.
I don't think even when they elect the president get 2 pages.
Yes. And I tell you, and I do remember specifically that people said, asked me, but do you know him personally? I mean, and I said, yes, I actually do. He's a friend of mine. And everybody was so jealous. They said, I really want to know him. I want to tell people that I am his friend, like you say. Like, well, I am his friend. And yes, that was a great story. I do remember that one too.
Yeah.
We have so many, Santi, together.
Yeah.
So many. And then, of course, when I started working for Zoom, we had, all those beautiful articles and we interviewed.
Zoom was the greatest magazine.
Yes.
Especially for photographer, was an art magazine.
It was the only one.
I was fortunate to know the owner. And that I was able to get Paola in there.
Yeah.
And I got you an office, you remember?
All right. How can I forget?
Next to it. Yeah.
I had my first office ever. I think it was Midtown. Remember?
In Tony Bianconello. You know, I still corresponded with him.
Oh, that's interesting.
He lives in Miami now. He had a restaurant there. And, of course, he had a lot of real estate that he owned. And he still has my pictures. He has my pictures of New York, all the murals that we made for the offices. You remember all the pictures of New York, huge murals?
Of course.
When you enter the office,
you will see the pictures.
Yeah.
Do you know, Santi, I have to tell you a story. You gave me a couple pictures which I treasured and fabulous. And then I had a flood in one of my, when I was living at that time. Everything got ruined. But one picture, the picture of the Statue of Liberty that you gave me, was wet, but it was the only thing that literally I preserved and I was able to save. And I tell you, everything else I couldn't care less, but your photo is still with me. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a couple of them, and not as many as I would like, but...
happened to me here in Santa Barbara too. Somebody's a very famous jeweler of Santa Barbara, that his house burned down, and he told me that the only picture that his wife, and they had a lot of jewelry in the house, wanted to preserve it was my picture of the Twin Towers.
Wow.
And she grabbed that picture, and the only thing was saved, all the burning house.
The same thing with me. I mean, that's all I care. That was the picture. I'm like, oh.
And we talk about mentorship. I got a book the other day from a dear friend of mine that I know him for 60 years. He's a photographer, Guido Alberto Rossi, and he wrote a book about some of his high moment of his life, and one is called Encounter with the Mythical Santi Visali. I call me a mythical. And at the end he says, at the end he describes me and a lot of things, but at the end of this section in the book, he says, the only thing I learned in life was, I mean, about Santi, that he is always ready there to help you when you need help. And you can count on Santi Visali for the rest of your life. And it was very, very touching for me to hear.
I 100% agree.
Another. But of course, sometimes you find the one, you know, like Jesus at the Last Supper, he said, before night time, one of you will betray me. And I had quite a few of those, you know, in my life. Some also that they don't want to show where they're coming from, that, you know, who kind of, who formed them with what, who they are. And do you understand that? I understand that kind of rejection. Many of them, not many, but some, is like a child when the moment of rejection come with the family. There's a rejection too, which I understand, because they're not sure enough and they don't want to show who was instrumental in their professional formation. And but I continue on doing my mission.
And you're doing a great job.
I still do it today.
You haven't changed a bit, I have to say. I mean, you look exactly the same.
Well, I'm a little grayer.
You always had gray hair. I remember you had gray hair.
Yeah,
but you had puffy hair at that time. You let it free. Now you are a little bit more calm than got a haircut and see it. I like it though. It looks really good on you, Santi.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So
sure.
you met your husband in the States, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then you have two children. You have Cristiano and Valerie?
Yes.
How old are the kids?
Cristiano is 24 years old. He is on his own now. He lives in New York as he's in private equity. And so he works millions of hours a week. And Valerie is in college. She will graduate this year. She is at Muhlenberg College. It's a small liberal arts college in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And she's studying journalism, as a matter of fact. Santi, I will send her to you one of these days. When she's graduated, I'll send her to you. You can mentor my daughter as well. Yes, yeah, so she's in communications. So, you know,
well,
she's
I'm sure you did a great job. I'm sure you did a great job.
I hope it paid off because, you know, I dropped a lot of things for them. So,
yeah.
I have a question for Paolo as well. You know, you went to the University of Rome, you studied Italian literature, and you specialized in movie criticism. And
yes.
I was reading that and I thought, this is an interesting connection between you and I, Paolo, because I have one grown son now. When he was going to college, he was at Duke University, and he called me. He was a freshman, and he called me and he said, "You know, I have to have an elective, meaning a course that, you know, mm-hmm. you just pick from the sky and you say, okay, I'll try this. I have to have an elective." And, you know, I'm studying to be, at the time he was in the pre-med track. I'm studying, you know, biology and physiology, et cetera. And I want something that's similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you suggest, Mom? And I said, Italian film noir.
Oh.
And he took Italian film noir. And he said it was the best thing that he ever did. He studied for a year various Italian films. But his professor, of course, was Italian, and he was another kind of mold, Santi mold, because he would cancel class in the classroom, and then he'd say, okay, class is going to be held in my kitchen. And they'd cook, and they'd make the process, he'd make them understand the process of the recipe, and then they'd watch the film and eat at the same time, you know, enjoy each other, enjoy the film. And my son said, I learned so much about life you know, with that one elective course, and I was reading your bio that there you were, you know, Cinema Nuevo and Cinema Italiano, and you wrote your thesis on that. Richard, do we have to go to one more break? Okay, let's go to one more break. I want Paolo to talk a little bit about her interest in film. I think that's a fascinating topic. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute with Paolo and Santi. Santi was mentor to Paolo for years and years. They lost touch. They're back in touch. And Paolo's on her way from New York to Santa Barbara. What a nice story. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Paolo Kushner and Santi Fasali, two old friends. The story is so compelling because Santi was mentor to a young woman, a young budding journalist in New York City, Italian young lady who decided to stay in New York and eke out her journalistic career. And Santi mentored her, and together they wrote amazing stories covering politicians and porn stars, and working for various Italian publications, but also U.S.-based publications. Fantastic story together, and they're going to reunite in Santa Barbara very shortly here. Interested me that Paolo's background is in cinema, Italian cinema. Tell us a little bit about your interest, and have you followed that, Paolo?
So the first question is, yes, I've always been interested in art in general. But what interested me about cinema was the way feelings and the situations were expressed. I always found very fascinating the fact that a movie tells a story from the beginning to the end, and you can interpret it the way you want, but it's also a form of art. I always thought, because I've always been attracted to beautiful things. I'm a Libra, and so... My father was also very interested in movies. So he presented movies to us, that cult movies, since we were very little, and especially Italian movies. And so when I went to the university, I knew I wanted to study literature, but also I wanted to do something that was related to art. And I thought the movie, the art of making movies was what I was really attracted to. And my professor, I have to say, one of the reasons why I became so, interested in that subject was because of my professor, Aristarco. Guido Aristarco, who unfortunately passed away a long time ago, but he was very, very famous, and he organized many movie festivals. He was one of the judges at Venice film festivals, and he was very politically opinionated, and he was, mostly in favor of what at that time was called Cinema Nuovo, which was the neorealism current. So I was just thrown into this world because of him, that it was hands-on day one. We literally went to Cinecittà, which is the place where most of the movies are made in Rome, and he made us touching Visconti's props. He was very famous because everything had to be perfect, and so the props are not just props made it up for just, you know, for the move, for the 3 seconds long scene. That was just a study. I mean, people were studying. And again, I go back to Santi's teaching of patience. That's, you know, also Visconti was like Santi, same type of personality. And so through my learning with Aristarco, I learned how to write about movies, how to interpret movies, and I started writing about movies. And I wanted to become a director. That was my big dream. And then I realized that actually editing was even more important than a good director. I felt that an editor is the one who makes most of the movie. I mean, of course, it does it with the director, you know. But so I said, okay, maybe I will be an editor. And I tried, and very, very, very difficult road. So,
well, Richard's giving us a sign we got to go to quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about Santi's photos of famous movie directors. He remember years ago telling me that Fellini liked to urinate outside. I'll never forgot that one. So we get back with Santi, we'll maybe finish up our time together with a couple of thoughts on movie directors. Okay, Richard, let's go to quick break. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart talking with two old friends. A great story. Santi Fasali, my friend, and Paolo Kushner. He mentored Paolo as a young Italian journalist in New York City years ago. They lost touch almost 27 years. It's been Paolo's on her way to say hi to Santi from New York City to Santa Barbara as we speak. Santi, tell us a little bit about your photos of famous movie directors.
One good story was that a friend of mine told me that Federico Fellini was shooting a movie called Casanova, which was the life story of Casanova, and the actor was an American actor, Don Sutherland, and if I will be interested, she will talk to Fellini, so see if he can get me onto the set to photograph some of the scene of the movies. So I talked to Newsweek. Newsweek agreed. I went to Rome, and I met Fellini, and was one of the greatest experiences of my life, because to be for 5 weeks next to a man of that caliber, it doesn't happen every day. I learn a lot. But also I learn that nobody's perfect in life. And Federico Fellini was a claustrophobic, a germophobic, and he didn't like, he was afraid of germs. And he didn't like to go to the regular toilet in Cinecittà, where they were shooting in this movie. But because I learned very early in life that I am like a dog with a bone, you know, never let it go. So with my subject, I always, when I photograph somebody, stay with them all the time, no matter what, always. So with, of course, a respectful distance, without to being too intrusive, but you never leave your subject. So one afternoon, we walked along. Fellini was walking in front of me, and I follow him about 3 steps behind, and he gets to a wall in outside of the the rooms where they were shooting, and he buttoned his pants. We didn't have zippers in those days. And he started peeing against the wall outside because he didn't like it to go to the toilet where he thought there were germs. And I had seen a friend of mine, Tony Vaccaro, and took a great pictures of a Calder, the sculptor, peeing next to his sculpture, and was published in Look magazine. And I was tempted to photograph Fellini, but I see that he's kind of looking at me. I see that through his profile that he's looking if I'm taking the pictures or not. And finally, I decided not to take the pictures. I purposely put my hands in my pocket to show him that I didn't want that picture. And so finally, when he finishes, he hugs me and he said, well, you know, we've been here 2 weeks together. I kind of didn't trust you because he prevented me all the time when I was supposed to shoot the cover. And he wanted the cover. He wanted total control on the cover. So he wouldn't let me shoot the cover. Every time I use a long lens, he goes in and out of focus because he knows perfectly well what I'm doing. And so I have a long lens. He goes in and out of focus instead of working horizontally to my camera. He works toward or away from my camera. So I cannot take a portrait. And this time, he puts his arm around my shoulder and he says, well, now I can trust you, Santi. I think today we're going to have a cover. So, and we did have a cover.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Paolo, I just want to wish you a good journey. And
I know
it's a trip of a lifetime for sure. And thank you, Paolo. Thank you, Santi, for being on the air with me. Great story. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you. See you tomorrow.
Yes.
Bye.
Can't wait.
Ciao.